Torej, najlepša hvala, da preden preklopim v angleščino, najlepša hvala. Zelo me veseli, da sem tu in da lahko predavam, tako da se zahvaljujem organizatorjem te jesenske filmske šole, še posebej Nilu in Maji za povabilo. Okay, now I'll switch into English. I'll try to say something in this paper about the relationship between Eisenstein's cinema and laughter and comedy. It's not exactly the same thing as the article that you can find in Kino, but it's in a way a kind of maybe a set of footnotes or something like that to this article. Namely, as I was preparing to write this article on Eisenstein's concept of intellectual cinema and intellectual montage, and I was rewatching Eisenstein and rereading Eisenstein, I was struck by the sheer fact that Eisenstein is much more, I think, than a filmmaker of a kind of sublime conception of cinema, actually a filmmaker of laughter and comedy. And even more, it seems to me that it is this dimension of laughter that actually makes Eisenstein so strange for us today. It seems that, for example, Dziga Vertov's montage of intervals, the playfulness of the man with the movie camera, is much closer to the spontaneous spirit of our own situation than Eisenstein's films. And the difference might not be that Vertov is a playful and Eisenstein a somber, serious filmmaker of the revolution, but rather in the two different types of laughter that characterize these two directors. So, at the same time, although these elements of laughter are usually mentioned in different interpretations and analysis of Eisenstein, I haven't yet come across a discussion in which laughter would be analyzed as not only a source or something like that, but as essential and fundamental for Eisenstein. So, although he, strictly speaking, never made a comedy, he came closest to making a comedy in 1933. It would have been called MMM, but it was banned by the Boris Shumyatsky, the boss of Soviet film industry. So although he never made a comedy, there's an abundance of comic, funny, and ridiculous material in Eisenstein's films. And in his writings, where he traces the genesis of his procedures and his practice, he constantly, throughout his career, discusses the resources of laughter. And they play, I think, indeed, a central role in his aesthetic conceptions. One can isolate, for example, the importance of Joycean humor for Eisenstein's idea of interior monologue, the crucial role the caricature, especially the work of 19th century French caricaturist Honoré Daumier, plays in Eisenstein's conceptions of painting and of drawing, and of his conception of the line, which becomes extremely important in the 30s and 40s for him. One can focus, for example, on the fact that Eisenstein develops his very important idea of typicality, of the creation of typical characters, which he turns against the psychological, naturalist characters of bourgeois theater and film out of the genre of comedy, more specifically, commedia dell'arte, or the comedy of social masks. Or, as I'll try to do briefly right now, one can look at the formative influence that Charlie Chaplin and American slapstick comedy had on Eisenstein, especially with respect to Eisenstein's ideas about movement, expressive movement. So I'll just to give you an example, I'll try to show how a very important idea of movement of Eisenstein's can be traced back to a comic source. So Eisenstein belongs to the group of Soviet filmmakers like Kuleshov, Pudovkin, the eccentric Kosintsev and Trauberg, for whom American slapstick comedies, especially the films of Charlie Chaplin, were of foundational importance. American slapstick represented for Soviet filmmakers of the early 1920s the genre of liberated movement and of the dynamic logic of objective situations that overcame the bourgeois focus on psychology, dramatic unities, and narrative constraints. American comedy was for these early experimenters in cinematic form the only authentic cinematic genre that could be confidently opposed to the film theater and film literature, which for them were not yet truly cinema, and certainly not adequate to the movement of the revolution itself. Eisenstein's first text on cinema, published in 1922, is in fact a defense of Charlie Chaplin, in which he calls American comedy the method in its pure form. Relating operations of cinema to the acrobatics of the burlesque meant that in cinema, movement would take primacy over its diegetic, narrative, or psychological assignments. It was no longer that movement would submit to a dramatic situation or a story, or even express the psychological life of characters. Rather, the primacy and autonomy of movement meant that it was movement itself that had to become expressive. A man or human beings, no longer the measure relative to which everything else is measured, was swept up along with the rest of the world in this new type of movement. Eisenstein identifies the autonomous, liberated movement of cinematic comedy with the revolutionary movement itself, with the movement of the masses. What is crucial is that what attracted Soviet filmmakers to comedy was not merely an interest in copying the methods and operations of comedy, but rather the possibility of merging comedy with the social and ideological significance of the Soviet experience. So there was first a kind of extraction of this independent, autonomous level of movement, and then a merging of this movement with the movement of the revolution. For Eisenstein's first film, The Strike, is a great example of this. So there occurs in the cinematic comedy a kind of reversal in the traditional approach to movement, which Eisenstein describes very precisely in the following two statements. The first one says, first the movement, and then what moves. And the second statement is, movement is registered before the object is recognized. So there's a primacy of movement before a particular thing that moves. The new conception of movement was first elaborated under the name of biomechanics, which was both a theory of movement on stage and later in cinema, and a program of actor training developed by Eisenstein's teacher Meyerhold and Eisenstein himself. Biomechanics and this new conception of movement have to be seen in the context of progressive industrialization, modernization, the great unleashing of movement beyond the comprehensive capacities of individuals into which cinematic comedy inserts itself as well. The Taylorist analysis of movement in the Fordist mode of capitalist production, William James's psychology, Vladimir Bekhterev's reflexology, Pyotr Lesgavt's program of physical education, all of which Meyerhold's theater and in which Eisenstein trained sought to absorb, are not characterized simply by the way they depersonalized either physical or emotional movement, but most of all by how they relate movement to a whole before making it an expressive quality of a part. So, for example, for Taylor, it is the efficiency of the whole arrangement of production that is at stake, and it's according to the efficiency of the whole that the individual gestures of the workers and so on are calculated and determined. For William James, it is the entire complex of a situation which produces then an emotional expression. He says, I saw a bear, I ran, I became frightened. So fear is only a particular expression of a movement of a whole objective situation. So movement is first of all movement of the whole, and it is the expression of this movement that mobilizes then the individual bodies and not vice versa. So American comedy offered Eisenstein an example of an artistic practice where expressiveness and meaning belong first and foremost to external movement and action, and were based on a carefully elaborated technique brought to the surface of bodies and objects. Comedy for Eisenstein not only liberates movement, but also maintains a difference between the individual and his actions. Actions in slapstick comedy are never completely aligned with the individuals that carry them out. The characters are always at least minimally depersonalized. Their status always appears as somewhat accidental with respect to the movement of events on stage or on screen. The figures of comedy function as decentered organisms. They are less individual characters than there are signs, hieroglyphic inscriptions, or alien of some alien forces that seem to govern their activity. In slapstick characters, an inviolable characteristic prevails, namely a self-contained independence of the outlined character and the independence of his actions. So swept up in a movement which is primary and autonomous, it is movement that is expressive through the characters, but is not expressive of them. And it is because of this fact that characters or figures in comedy always appear as, to a certain extent, kind of montage bodies, montaged organisms. They're both regular bodies and at the same time bearers of this movement that is that goes beyond them. Another comic element which was employed already in the routines of Commedia dell'arte and that was developed most fully in cinematic comedy was the relationship of this liberated movement or of this movement of the whole to the strange independent life of the world of objects. If movement is primary, a movement of the whole prior to the recognition of its parts, it is general and irreducible to its relation to human individuals. It is also potentially makes all types of movement equivalent among themselves. There is no reason why a movement of an individual human organism would be more important than the movement of